quick study. We'll be looking at a bunch of different passages. I don't have one primary one to stick in, but I do want to start in Ephesians chapter 5. And so if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 5 with me, verses 15 through 21 will kind of be our starting point, and we'll move from there to look at what the rest of Scripture has to say about thankfulness. I don't have any slides or anything, so there's nothing to look at up here, unfortunately, but if you will bear with me, we can go through these points. So starting in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, Paul starts by saying, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." So we're looking at, in this passage, you've got walking in an unwise manner, walking in a wise manner, and he gives a few things in each. "Making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish," that's unwise, "but understand what the will of the Lord is," that's wisdom. "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery," that's the way of the unwise, walking as a person who is unwise, "but be filled with the Spirit," that's walking as one who is wise. And the rest of this is walking in wisdom, "addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." So that verse 20, that is walking with the wise, that is walking in wisdom, is thankfulness to God. And it says, "giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we are always to be giving thanks at all times. We are always to be giving thanks for all things. And we are always to be giving thanks for all things to God. And more than that, it's to God through Jesus Christ, who has made the way for us to draw near to God. So this study of thankfulness, this is kind of our launching point, is we need to keep in mind that when we are thinking of when we should be thankful, what we should be thankful for, who we should be thankful to, this verse sums it up very clearly. Be thankful for all things, at all times, to God through Jesus Christ. So that's our launching point. Let's pray and let's get into this study. Father, we thank you for this day that you have provided for us. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. We pray now for Todd and his family as they are feeling sick. I pray that you would give them a quick recovery, help them to get back on their feet and able to come back to church to fellowship with us. We pray for the others that have been sick this week that are still out, that you would heal them as well. Show them your mercy and your grace in their sickness and suffering. Let them honor you and use this sickness to glorify you. I pray that you would be with us now in this lesson. Help us to understand what you have told us about thanksgiving and thankfulness. Let us be grateful for what we have, for who you are, and for what you have provided to us. Thank you for all of these things, and I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, a quick study on thankfulness. I want to start off by defining what thankfulness is. So, thankfulness is key. It's important. The theme of this is that it's one of the primary ways to honor God and to fight sin. So, what is thankfulness? And there's going to be a few of these questions I'm opening up to everybody. So, the first one is just going to be, how would you define thankfulness? We say thank you all the time, right? So it's very quick, but how would you define it?
Appreciation and understanding. With this, when you gratitude.
Yeah.
I think there is a distinction between gratitude.
Yeah. Appreciation, certainly, and understanding what someone has done for you and having that sense of gratitude, that appreciation for what's been done. Humility? Yeah. Yeah, thanking someone is recognizing that someone else has done something. So there is that level of you're not looking to yourself. It is a humble recognition. That's a very good point. Go one more comment on the aspect of thankfulness.
Attitude. Mm-hmm. I can be thankful for the Grand Canyon. Nobody did anything God created, and be thankful for his sense of beauty and power and life.
Yeah.
To appreciate it in an attitude.
Yeah. It certainly is an attitude, and it's an attitude we need to take on and embrace, because we can have different attitudes. And so thankfulness is an attitude we can have. Those are very good. I've got kind of a working definition, and I think I need to add in that humility and gratitude as well. But my working definition is essentially respect, honor, and acknowledgement of kindness and grace received from someone. It's just kind of a combination of a few different definitions that I've come across, but acknowledging and honoring someone for something that's been done. Honoring someone for something, acknowledging that they've done it, respecting that. So there's kind of three parts to this. And if you're thinking of biblical thankfulness and thankfulness to God, this is elevated. But the first part of this is that it is an act of giving honor, of gratitude. And if you're looking at what thankfulness is in relation to God, it is an act of worship. It's worshiping God by being grateful, acknowledging what he has done, acknowledging and honoring him for what he has done and for who he is. So it truly is an act of worship. It's an attitude of worship. It's an attitude of humility in revering and honoring someone else. The second part of it is that it is for something, right? Thankfulness is for something. You can't just be thankful without there being something that you're thankful for. So the second part of it is thankfulness is for something. And in relation to God, we are to be thankful for all things. Like we started in Ephesians 5, be thankful for all things, right? The third part of thankfulness is that it is to somebody. We can be thankful to one another. We can say thank you to each other. And ultimately, if you're thinking about it in relation to God, we're thankful to God for all things. An atheist can't really be thankful. You can't just be thankful to nothing. You have to be thankful to somebody because somebody has done something to which you are giving thanks. There's an act of appreciating, of respecting and honoring what's been done by a person and for the thing that has been done. So thankfulness, when we're thinking about what thankfulness is, we do need to think of it in that aspect. It's an attitude and an action we can have. We can give thanks. We can be thankful. And it's thankfulness to something or someone. Well, to someone, not really to something, just to someone for something that's been done. Okay? So that's kind of our definition we're going to be working with. And when we look through what thankfulness is and how it helps us to fight sin, that's what we're speaking of. It's thankfulness to God for what he has done, and it is truly an act of worship. So I'll open it up again. What are some passages on thankfulness? I've got several written down, and there's more than I have written down here, but just what are some passages that have meant a lot to you or that you have meditated on recently or that have really impacted you in your understanding of thankfulness and giving thanks?
One of my favorites is Philippians chapter 4, I think 4 through 7. Say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then it goes from there and says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests be made known to God. I think that passage just meant a lot for me.
Yeah. Amen. Thankfulness, there's the command right there. Be thankful, rejoice in God, and be thankful. Scripture is very clearly saying, you know, do not be anxious. Come before God in thanksgiving, in humility, make your requests known to God. And that certainly is one of the commands of Scripture, is not just for us to pray, but to give thanks to God. Very good.
Psalm
100.
Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all the dead, serving all the fattest. Come to the Lord's presence, singing, know that the Lord is God. It's He who made us, not by ourselves, prepared for the people, sheep of the pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His court with praise. Be thankful for Him, bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting.
Amen. Such a short but a powerful psalm, and it's very clear in there why we should give thanks. Give thanks to Him, bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Amen.
It's important to remember. I've often heard, I just got that $100 I needed. The Lord is good. Nobody did get the $100. The Lord's so good. And yeah, in terms of discipline, discipline's every child receives. The Lord did that. Yes, because He cares enough to discipline.
Yeah.
When good things happen.
Exactly. And that's why in all things we must give thanks, because you're exactly right. There are things that we see that are not good, but in God's great plan, it is good. And the bad things that happen to us are for our good and for His glory. So that's exactly right. We give thanks in all things because God is always good. Amen.
I'm not sure where it is. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, never forget thanks.
Mm-hmm. Rejoice always. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in all things give thanks. Amen. And that it goes right along with those other commands, to rejoice in the Lord, to pray, to be near to God, to flee from sin. Up there, right with everything, is give thanks. So, giving thanks. So, other passages that speak on thankfulness. First Thessalonians 5:18. I was just about to turn to that one. It's a pretty clear one, I think. It talks about it very clearly. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And you include 16 and 17. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. So right along there with rejoicing and with praying is giving thanks in all circumstances. And it goes on further to say, more than just this is what you should do, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So if you want to know the will of God, be thankful. That is God's will for you. Amen. Any other passages on thankfulness before we move forward? I think of Colossians 3:15 through 17. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And in Colossians 4, verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is repeated again and again in these two passages. Be thankful. With all thanksgiving, come before God. Pray with thanksgiving. So the command is very clear. We must be people who give thanks. If you look at many, many of the Psalms, we've got three right in a row, Psalm 106, 107, and 108, that all start essentially the same way. Even 105, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among his people. Psalm 106, praise the Lord, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 107, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 108, verse 2, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is great above the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. There's so many more passages, especially in the Psalms, of saying, I will give thanks. I give thanks to God. Give thanks to God. Praise God. Give thanks to the Lord. And all these passages really help solidify the reality that we are supposed to be people who give thanks. We're called to give thanks. We are called to give our thanks to God, which is, right, an act of worship to God for all things. So looking at all of these passages then, we come to realize that this is the pattern and the command of Scripture. So the sin then that we can so easily commit is the sin of unthankfulness and ingratitude, right? The sin of not being thankful to God, not thanking him for what he has done, not thanking him for the things that he has given us. So that's a sin. And if you turn with me to Romans 1, Romans 1 obviously starts off with the rejoicing in the gospel and moves very quickly into the sins of the world. And says very clearly, look at the gospel, I rejoice in the gospel, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, it is the power of God for salvation. And then quickly turns to, we're going to examine the gospel by starting with the world. Where is the world? What is the world like? Every man is a sinner. And he starts off by saying, everybody knows things about God in verse 20, right? His invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. Everybody knows that there is a God. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. So right at the beginning, he moves on from this very clearly. I have things that are sinful or wicked, underlined in green, and the rest of this chapter is green. It's just green, 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 because everything in here is just sin and wickedness and where people are falling and stumbling and rebelling against God. And the very beginning of that says, they did not give thanks to God. So thanklessness, being unthankful, not giving thanks to God, is a trait of an unbeliever. It's the mark of someone who is not saved. Unbelievers do not give thanks to God, and therefore, through that and through not honoring him and obviously not embracing his gospel, they are cast into darkness and they spiral downwards into sin. There is so much sin that flows out of being ungrateful and unthankful to God. So thanklessness does not fit with the Christian life. It is something that fits an unbeliever's life. It is something that the unbelievers embody. It's what they are. It's how they live. Thankfulness is how the Christian lives. So looking at the sin of thanklessness, it is equivalent to the way an unbeliever acts. So if you or I are being thankless, we are acting as the world. Now there are certainly hindrances to us being thankful. We are not always thankful, right? We have to have the commands in Scripture to be thankful because we are often not thankful. So what are some of those hindrances that keep us from being thankful? One of the first is just being an unbeliever, but what are some more?
We assume that God owes us something.
Yeah. Exactly. We assume God owes us something, that we deserve whatever God is giving us. That's just what should be, because that's how we what we deserve. That's who we are. We are supposed to get good gifts from God. And that keeps us from being thankful because we're not honoring God for what he's done. We're just saying, yeah, you that's what you're supposed to do. You did your job. So that's very good. What else hinders us from being thankful to God?
Abundance.
Yeah. An abundance. Having so much that we forget because our eyes are fixed on the things and on what we have. Very good.
Long trials with no seeming end to it.
Yeah.
And keep praying over something to God. It seems that the prayers are not heard.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes that's hard to pray.
Yeah. Yeah, a long trial where our eyes are fixed on the trial itself. And the longer it gets, the easier it is to fix your eyes on the trial and not on the reason for the trial or the fruits that come from the trial, but to think through, I want this to be over. This is too long. Why is this happening? And we leave being thankful to God and we start thinking about, again, what we deserve, what God owes us. So, very good. What are some other hindrances? Yeah.
Dad, I'm thinking of things such as the trial that Jacob went under, not seeing his son for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking his son was dead. The point when they want to pay Benjamin times, if I lose him, I'll die.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously became. I don't want to say it was bitter, it was sad.
Yeah.
That trial they had. And then it's in his other son lied to him 20 years.
Yeah.
He didn't lose his hope in the Lord.
Yeah.
But he probably wasn't running around and said, oh, that's the thing.
Right. Right. And something that happened to him that he.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes.
I think one could be covetousness is when we are focused so much on the things that we don't have,
mm-hmm.
and not the focus on the things that we do have. It's so easy to fall into just an attitude of unthankfulness.
Yeah. Not only in abundance, but when other people have abundance. Someone else has things, someone else has the job you want, someone else has the free time that you want, someone else has the family that you want, whatever it is. I would rather have that because they have it. And so instead, my eyes are fixed on that and not being thankful to God for what I have. Yeah.
I was just thinking being lazy because mm-hmm. we should be purposeful in, I was thinking, you know, song, count your blessings, name them one by one, but, you know, being purposeful in looking at the goodness of God.
Yeah.
And when you do that, then it helps you to be thankful. But if you're just inactive about it, if you're just lazy and you don't even consider the thing, you know, the goodness of God, then, you know, you the default position may be that ingratitude and grumbling and complaining.
Yeah. It comes so easy. And I think that's exactly right. And I think you could say physical laziness, you know, putting off your responsibilities and the things you have to do, and also the spiritual laziness of not being in the Word and not being in prayer and not meditating on the things of God and becoming spiritually lukewarm. We're supposed to be active in that and in thinking about God and thinking about what He has done and praising Him for that. And so when we don't and we sit back and we're not thinking through those things actively, we get lazy in that. We start to become ungrateful. We start to become thankless. And the lazier we are, the more we become like the world. That's just the nature of who we are as sinners. So,
Entitlements. After receiving an entitlement through some form of government or charity, when it stops,
yeah.
You discover
yeah.
how unthankful.
Yes. Yes. Becoming, seeing the gifts of God or the gifts of whatever it is as a necessity, as an income. This is what I've earned and deserved, as opposed to that gift that it is. And when the gift is gone, the thankfulness if it were still there, would be, thank you, God, for what you gave me. But instead, it's often, where is it? Where is this gone? I need this. I need this to come back. So a couple others that I would think of would be doubting the sovereignty of God. If we believe that God is sovereign over all things, then we can be thankful that he has given us all things, because we're called to give thanks for all things. If we don't believe that God is sovereign over everything, then we believe there are things that can happen to us that don't come from God, and therefore we can doubt, you know, is this really God's will? Did he really put this trial in my life for a reason? Because if you don't believe he did, now all of a sudden you're saying, I'm not thankful for what I'm going through. Clearly this isn't God's actual plan because this is hard for me. So I'm unthankful for where I am and I want things to change now. You know, why did God bring about this horrible situation in my family or this sickness or whatever it is? If you're not trusting in the sovereignty of God, it's very easy to be unthankful for everything that happens to you because you don't see it as coming from the gracious hand of our Father. I think unrepentant sin can hinder us. It can keep us from thanking God for what he has done because we're living in active rebellion to God. Impatience. Impatience is not trusting in God's sovereign schedule. This is something that I've had a very hard time with throughout my life, not trusting in God's sovereign schedule. He has planned what is going to take place at all times. And what we need to do is be thankful for what he has orchestrated versus saying, well, clearly, my timing, the way I see things, would be so much easier and better. Like, if only this would have happened this time, and I got this job at this time, and I got, you know, we had this thing happen at this time, and I graduated school at this time, then I could have bought a house 5 years ago, and I wouldn't have had to pay $1 billion coming straight out of college. That's what it feels like. If only I was 5 years older, I could have maybe bought a house, but it's not looking very promising right now. But we have those thoughts of, man, the timing, if only things could be different. I wish this could happen now. I wish that this could happen sooner. And that's not being thankful for what God is working out in our lives. Anxiety is also a hindrance to thankfulness, right? Being anxious about what is happening, what is going to happen. That's not trusting in God and thanking him for what he's doing. That's really living the opposite. So those are ways of being unthankful, and I think one of the biggest is just rebellion to God. Rebellion against God, rebellion against what God has said and what God has done is a huge hindrance to our thankfulness because we're supposed to be, as an act of worship, thanking God for all that he has done. So if we are rebelling against God, you cannot be thankful to him in the same way. And anytime we sin, we are rebelling against God. So really sin, you could boil it down to, is the ultimate hindrance to thankfulness. But rebellion against God. So what effects does this sin have on us of being thankless? We've kind of talked about a lot of them already. In what hinders us from being thankful is also now the effects of it. If you're hindered from being thankful, it's very likely that you will become lazy, that you will become anxious, that you will become entitled, that you will become impatient, right? I think Galatians 5 is very clear. Our natural state is, before we were saved, is the flesh. And I think if you just look at the works of the flesh, this is what comes out of a heart of ingratitude. And the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy. We talked about jealousy and envy. Fits of anger. If you're angry, are you being thankful? Are you feeling angered because of something that has been done against you and you feel that you're entitled to do something else? So fits of anger. Rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, there it is again, drunkenness. Is drunkenness being thankful? Does the drunkard say, thank you, God, for this 13th beer that I'm having tonight? I don't think so. I think that it's that sense of drunkenness even encapsulates taking on, in any sense, things that are above and beyond, kind of a gluttonous attitude and an attitude of taking on things that now affect your mind and affect your how you are living your life. And taking this on, it's not an act of thankfulness. Orgies and things like these, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you look at all of these sins, the sin that is there, there's a sin of pride and a sin of thanklessness, right? Thanklessness is always there. When we sin, we are not being thankful to God. We're called to give thanks in all things. So now, if we are sinning and we are living in sin, we are not giving thanks to God. Now, really, this sin of thanklessness just gives us a twisted and a wrong mindset of everything. So let's transition from the sin of thanklessness to the act that we are called to of being thankful. What is an accurate view of thankfulness, and what does thankfulness provide for us? When we are thankful, what does it do? What does it accomplish? I think, first of all, thankfulness just lets us see things as they really are. And like I said, the purpose of this is to look at how thankfulness is a key tool in fighting sin and in honoring God. So thankfulness lets us see things as they really are. Now, first of all, it lets us see God as He really is. When we're thankful, we are thankful, like we said, to somebody. And when we're thankful to God, we're thankful to God. So we have to consider, who is God? Who is God, and why am I thankful to Him? And when you realize I'm thankful to God, you realize that God is our sustainer, that God is our provider, that God is our Father, that He is loving, that He is gracious, that He is merciful. We could continue throughout so many attributes of God. When you recognize I have to be thankful to God, you realize that He is God and we are not. We don't have that sense of entitlement. He is God. And not only does it let us see God as He truly is, it lets us see ourselves as we truly are. When we take on an attitude of thankfulness, and when we give thanks to God, we're recognizing that He has given us His mercy, and He has extended His kindness to us. And it is a kindness that is not deserved. When we're thankful, we realize we need to humble ourselves because we are sinners, and we do not deserve anything that God has given to us. And that's the sin of thanklessness, is thinking that we deserve what God is giving to us. But to be truly thankful is to realize we don't deserve any of this. And thirdly, in seeing God rightly, seeing ourselves rightly, we see our circumstances rightly. We have an accurate view of what's going on around us and what things happen to us, why it's happening to us. It's all from God. That's the primary thing to know. Our circumstances are all from God. We don't have anything that we encounter. We don't have any trials that come our way. We don't have any blessings that come our way that are not from God. So when you're in an attitude of thankfulness, you're thanking God for all that He has done, which is all things. So you're recognizing all things come from God. And this is, I actually was talking with Andrew about this yesterday. This is where we can get very caught up in being unthankful, is with our circumstances. When we think about God and we study Scripture, it draws us to be thankful. It calls us to be thankful. And when we see God, if you're really reading the Scripture honestly, you become thankful for what you're learning about God. You see Him and you praise Him. You learn things about Him and you praise Him. When we see ourselves and we see our wickedness and we humble ourselves before Scripture, this is where it gets hard too, because we're very prideful. But when we see that rightly, we praise God. We thank God for what He has done, that He has saved such a sinner as myself. The clearer I see my sin, the more I see the grace and mercy of God, and I am thankful for that. But our circumstances, this is the easiest thing that we can complain about with one another. Right? This is the talk at the office. This is the talk with one another about, man, this, you know, this thing happened to me yesterday, and I really wish it didn't, because now that's caused this, and that's made me respond this way. Our circumstances, we often allow for us to not be, we give as the reason for us not being thankful. We say, well, this is how things are in my life, so that's kind of why, if things were better, I would be able to have the fruit of the Spirit. Or, you know, I'm not very patient right now, but that's just because I don't have fill in the blank. You know, this is something I've been thinking about a lot lately. It's been on my heart in just thinking through, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happens right when you're done with college. And there's a lot to consider of, man, if I had this job, if I was able to do that, if I was able one of the primary things would be if I could get paid to do ministry. Well, that would be awesome. I know you all know I went to school to study biblical counseling, and my desire is to be a pastor, to be serving in a church in some sort of position. That would be wonderful. God does not have me there right now. He doesn't. And what's happened, especially in having a degree like that, and I've talked with my old roommate about this too, who graduated the same time as me, there's so much we've just studied all this, we've just learned all this, we've been taught, this is what you do if you're in this situation, this is what you do as a pastor, this is what you do in ministry, and it's like, all right, I'm ready to do that now. Let's go ahead and do it now. But that's not where I'm at now, to have a job like that. And the temptation is, you know, I can thank God for who he is, I can thank God for that he has saved someone such as me, but the temptation is easily to talk with people and say, yeah, I just really wish that I had that, and, you know, it would make things so much easier and so much better, and, you know, I would, if that was the case, I would read my Bible more, you know, I would pray more, I would, whatever it is. Well, what in the world? Why would that be the reason that I'm more holy? Because of some circumstance that changes? There is a reality that our circumstances can affect us negatively, right? You can be in a bad situation if you're working 5 jobs and getting half an hour of sleep every night. That's going to affect you negatively. But that's not the reason why you are unthankful or the reason why you're sinning. And so often we can think that we can complain about our circumstances because they're causing these problems in us. And thankfulness is something that uproots that entirely. It says, all right, listen, you think that your circumstances are hard and you think that they are causing you to sin. Your circumstances may be hard, but they are not causing you to sin. What's causing you to sin is your ingratitude and your desire to have everything that you want your way. Thankfulness takes your circumstances that are hard and brings them before God in an attitude of humility and recognizing that he is good and he has put you where he wants you. And that moves you from complaining and talking to other people in a negative way about where you are to talking in a way that is glorifying to God, because you're saying, maybe I don't see what's going on right now. Or maybe if I just took 5 minutes to look, I could name 100 reasons why God is blessing me through this trial right now. Sometimes I think through that. I think, all right, you know, I really wish that these things were the case. But what is God teaching me right now through this hard time that I'm in? Well, he's taught me patience. He's taught me, you know, how to be kind to other people. He's taught me, even thinking about the job I have now, which is not in ministry, it's taught me so many things that are useful for holiness, for perseverance, for interacting with people, for living out the word of God in a worldly environment. And if I were to just stop and think about that for 2 minutes, I could be so thankful for what God has given to me. But that thankless attitude is what keeps us looking at ourselves, looking at our circumstances, struggling with you, looking at our circumstances in a way that realizes they are from God. Everything is from God. It can be very tricky, but the reality is when we are truly thankful, we see our circumstances as they really are. So what effects does putting on thankfulness have? Putting on an attitude of thankfulness, giving thanks to God actively, What effects does that have on us? And I'll open this one up. I kind of mentioned a few. It helps us see different things rightly. But what are some effects that putting on an attitude of thankfulness has in our lives? Mike. 1, 2, 3. So go ahead, Mike.
Rules and self-pity.
Mm-hmm.
Self-pity. Yeah. The tendency to want to isolate ourselves and think about ourselves.
Yeah.
It causes us to reach outside of ourselves. And it also makes me very thankful that it has to. I'm not sitting there, oh God. Oh whoa. You know, it's wow, thank you, God.
Yeah.
Thank God for chastising you, for testing you, and you thank God that you're being tested, and this is a good thing.
Yeah.
And we don't realize that sometimes, so we want to isolate ourselves.
Yeah.
But we need to understand that
it produces righteousness.
We gain a fear of man.
Yeah.
And the fear of man is probably the most dangerous thing out there. You start worrying about what other people think of this stuff. Like this.
Right. It brings us back. Yeah, exactly. It brings us back to seeing God as He is, and removing that sense of self-pity of looking at, I deserve worse than I have, but I've been sitting here thinking I deserve better. So being thankful eliminates that.
Okay, so I was reacting to the word putting on. I think there's a thankfulness. And there's a wanting to be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting to be thankful is good. Being thankful is better. I would, maybe wrong, I'm guessing Job was satisfied before the trial.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he ended up with more than he started with, I think he'd still choose not to have to go through that and just be content with what he had prior to it.
Yeah.
But we learn through that book. We learn about thankfulness. And like you said, it wasn't circumstance driven, but it was revealed by circumstance.
Mm-hmm. I think you hit on something as well, that contentment comes directly from thankfulness. And being content with that, like in Job's case, being content in all things, like Paul also talks about, it stems from being thankful to God. That's how we can be content with what we have, because we're thankful that God is the one that has provided it for us. But yes, that putting on thankfulness and the circumstances revealing whether or not we are thankful, that certainly is there. Yes. Thankfulness produces joy, certainly.
Going off of the first verse I quoted today, Philippians 4, it has a direct kind of result of thankfulness in that passage.
Mm-hmm.
This is after, it says to rejoice in the Lord always. And then after that is to give thanks to God. And let your request be made known to God. And then verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I think going off of that is peace.
Yeah.
I think we can have an inner sense of being under God's sovereignty and that He is in control. And we can have peace and not be given over to anxiety
in
that circumstance, and have trust in God at all times.
Yeah. Peace and trust, certainly. When we're thankful to God, it removes that sense of, it gives us that sense of trusting that God is the one that has given us these trials, that has given us these blessings. And so I can be at peace and thank God for what He has done, but it certainly does produce peace.
We were created to worship God. Mm-hmm. And commanded to share that God.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfulness is an inviting environment. And when you are thankful, ultimately people who perhaps have a hard time being thankful stare at you. They want to know, why are you happy? Why are you thankful? What's different about your life?
Mm-hmm.
So if we're commanded to share the gospel and to reveal Christ in our bright light, then it's like having spiritual bad breath if you're unthankful.
Yeah.
People are repelled, and people don't call and say, I'm having a great day, but I thought maybe you could bring me down a little.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thankfulness is a tool that is useful in sharing the gospel.
Yeah. It certainly is. It's when we are thankful, we're not being bitter or envious, and we're not being, you know, those sins are removed from us, which are so common in the world. And so when the world sees that, why are you thankful? You are giving thanks for all these things that are happening to you. Whatever painful trial it is, you're giving thanks. Why is that? It's very different. And when Christians aren't regularly showing that they are thankful and giving thanks, we're not reflecting what God has done in our lives. We are reflecting instead that we are people who love the world, and we love the things of the world, and we love ourselves. I think, go ahead.
One other quick one too can be generosity.
Yeah.
I think when we understand just how much we've been given, then we'll be more willing to give to others.
Yeah. Yeah. When you look at what God has given to you, what overflows from that is giving to other people. Not for their thanks, but because you've been given so much. And we thank God for what He's given to us. And so we mimic God in that by doing as He does and giving generously. Well, we read from Galatians 5 a few verses to talk about the effects of not being thankful. I think if you take the next couple verses in that same passage, you can see exactly what thankfulness produces. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. We talked about joy. We talked about peace. Patience. We talked about that earlier. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I think each of these, if you look at it, what does thankfulness produce in you? Thankfulness produces love. Thankfulness to God produces joy. Thankfulness to God truly produces peace. Thankfulness to God produces patience, relying on His timeline, relying on His mercy. Thankfulness to God produces kindness to others. Thankfulness to God produces goodness in our own thoughts, in our own words, in our own actions. Thankfulness to God produces faithfulness in our own lives. Thankfulness to God produces gentleness towards others, being generous, being caring, thinking about other people. Thankfulness to God produces self-control, recognizing God is sovereign over all things, therefore, and He has called me to live a Christian life, to walk as Christ walked, and I'm thankful to Him for what He has given me, the power He has given me to walk that walk, and I'm going to do that, to follow after Him. Really, thankfulness gives us an accurate view. It calms our soul. It keeps us from sin. It helps us praise God. It helps us honor God. Just being thankful helps us to honor God. So, thinking through just sort of a more of an application, thankfulness to God really, really allows us to fight sin. So I want you to just name a sin, and we'll work through it and see how thankfulness helps us deal with that. So somebody give me a sin.
Grumbling.
How does thankfulness help us deal with grumbling?
It's hard to grumble when you're being thankful.
Yeah.
We're more careful when we grumble.
Yeah. Yeah. When we're grumbling, we're thinking about ourselves. We're saying and complaining about what's going on in our lives. So when we're thankful, we stop doing that. We stop thinking about what's going on in my life, the bad circumstances, and we start thinking instead about what God is doing for us. What's another sin? Worry? Worry? How does thankfulness help with worry? Trust. Because when we're thankful to God, we're recognizing God is the one that has given us all things. The passage we started with was give thanks for all things at all times. And so we can trust in God. And when we're worrying, we're not trusting in God. When we adapt that spirit of thankfulness and we actively thank God, then we are less inclined to worry, more inclined to trust in God. What's another sin?
Pride
is a huge sin, and it touches all the other sins as well. So how does thankfulness help us with pride? It humbles us because when we are thankful, we are taking ourselves out of the picture. We recognize when we give thanks to God in that act of worship, we are thanking God for what he has done to us who don't deserve it. We adapt that mindset of God is God and God is good. I am man and I am not good. And so when we adopt that attitude of thankfulness, we're no longer thinking of ourselves as being entitled to the goodness of God, but we recognize God is far above who we are and what we deserve. And he has given us so many things that we absolutely do not deserve. We are not entitled to. So pride is killed by thankfulness. Coveting? When you're desiring things that other people have, you're not being lust. Yeah. You're desiring people or desiring objects, things that belong to other people, things that God has not given you. And that's not recognizing that God has given you everything that you need. But when you're thankful, you're recognizing God has given you all things that you need. He's a good father that gives good gifts to his children. And if he is that good father that gives good gifts to his children, he has given good gifts to you. And so coveting is then dealt with by being thankful unto God and resting in what he has done for us. So, lying? Lying, how do we deal with lying? How does thankfulness help us with lying? Think about what lying is. It's twisting, distorting, or telling complete falsehoods. Distorting the truth, telling complete falsehoods. So how does thankfulness help us?
The fact that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Mm-hmm. And that follow of my faith, and you have that truth. Living inside of you, Christ, living in you.
Yeah. Yeah, God is truth. So if we're thankful and we're looking to God, we recognize that he is truth. What are you usually trying to accomplish by lying?
Getting your way.
Yeah. Making yourself look better than you are. Getting your way.
You're a man. You want to keep the truth. Because it makes you look bad.
Yeah. If you tell the truth, it'll make you look bad. If you tell the truth, hard things, bad things will happen. So when you're lying, your purpose there is typically to serve yourself, right? It's typically, I'm going to twist and distort the truth so that I look better, so that I get what I want, so that bad things don't happen. And so when you're thankful for what God has done, and you rest in the fact that everything that comes about is from the hand of God, you don't have to lie. You realize, I don't have to lie to get my way, because what I really want is God's way. And if I'm lying, I'm trying to distort the truth of God, and I'm trying to distort what God has given me so that I can twist it and manipulate it to get myself what I want. And I think that thankfulness, having that attitude, helps us to just rest in the fact that we don't need to distort or twist or anything. We can rely and trust in what God has done. I want to ask this just for us to think through as well. What are some things, so we could all go around and say things that we're thankful for in our lives, but we all have different things that we're thankful for, right? Some of you in here are married, some of you are not. So some of you are thankful for a spouse, some of you can be thankful in your singleness. Some of you have children, some of you do not. So thankful in your children, you know, whatever it is. But I want us to think through, what are some things that all of us as Christians can together be thankful for? It's good, obviously, to think through those, but a lot of times we think of those circumstantial things and we meditate on those and we're thankful for those, which is great. Think about those things. God has provided you those circumstances. Be thankful in that. But I want to go through some things. What are some things that we as Christians can all be thankful for together, that I can say I'm thankful for and you can say you're thankful for as well, because you also share that? Primarily, we've got the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? We are all thankful in the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is for all Christians, and we all as believers together can be thankful to God for the gospel. What's something else we can be thankful to God for? Yeah? The attributes of God. Just who God is, His very character. All of us can together be thankful that God is love, that God is mercy, that God is infinite. We could spend weeks and weeks going through the attributes and why we should be thankful for them.
We're given the opportunity every day, every hour, every minute. God allows us to repent of our sins. We have to take advantage of that. And because of His mercy and His grace, we're allowed to do that. And where would we be if we didn't have that?
Yeah. Exactly. Being thankful that we have time at all. And that we have time specifically to repent, to praise God. We've been given breath in our lungs to do that. When we're not being thankful, we're inclined to sin because we're not thinking that we have that time. We're not thankful for that time. When you're thankful for the time you have to repent, you're thankful for that opportunity, it leads you to repent. It leads you to turn to God. The church? Yeah. The church of God, where we can come together with all of our problems and worship God.
Thankful for the process of sanctification, the trials, the difficult times you're going through, as well as the joys, the conformance and image of Christ.
Yeah. We all share in trials. Jesus had trials, and he told us very clearly, we're going to have our share as well, and we do. And we ought to be very thankful for those, because the hard trials we go through produce the most fruit.
This isn't all there is. We can share in the joy of knowing that when this comes to an end, something better awaits. And whether this is great, lousy, someplace in the middle, we have the hope of eternity. We have the thankfulness that this is not all there.
This is not all there is. We have something that will carry us into eternity to be with God forever. And we can collectively be thankful for that.
The Word
of God. Yeah, the words of God. We don't hear from Him audibly in the sky and in the clouds today. We hear from Him in His Word. And we have that Word. I was thinking of Peter. Not my brother. I am thankful for my brother. I'm very thankful for my brother. The Apostle Peter. And how much of a rockhead he was. No pun intended. The fact that Peter outwardly spoke against Jesus shows us that we, no matter how close we are to Jesus, are sinners and mess up big time. And that God's grace is greater than that. I'm thankful for the manna in the wilderness. I didn't experience the manna, but I think we all as Christians can be thankful that God is the provider of His people in ways where the people were not thankful. They were grumbling and complaining the minute they left slavery. They were grumbling and complaining, and yet God in his great mercy, provides. I think we can all be thankful for Pharaoh. That sounds very weird. But God used Pharaoh, all the different pharaohs at different times. He used one pharaoh to provide blessing to the people, to Jacob. He used it to provide for the people of God in the famine and where they were able to thrive and grow and live. And then he used a later on Pharaoh who didn't know God to persecute and punish the people so that they would see God and so that we could see the mercy of God in the Exodus, so that we could see the gospel clearly displayed in the Old Testament. Have you ever thanked God for Pharaoh? You can. You think of even the exile of the Israelites out of their land. It's weird to be thankful for that because they were killed and the rest of them were enslaved. And yet God used that in a miraculous way to bring about Christ. We can be thankful for all of these things in Scripture. We think so much of the things that we need to be thankful for and how being thankful helps us fight our sin now. It's true, it does. But we think a lot of times about our circumstances. I got to think about my job and thank for my job. And I got to think about, you know, what's happening later today and for my food, which is absolutely true. Be thankful for all those things. But be thankful for the entirety of God's plan of salvation, for everything revealed in His Word. Because like our passage said at the beginning, we're to be thankful to God for all things at all times. We're thankful for all things at all times to God the Father through Jesus Christ. I really appreciate you all joining in the conversation. I know there's a lot more we could talk about, I wish we could get to. But I want to leave you with this one thing to remember, and this goes to what you had mentioned, Ron. Thankfulness is eternal. We will be thanking God for the rest of eternity. We will enter into heaven and see the face of God, and we will not cease giving thanks. Why in the world would we cease giving thanks now? It's not that at that point things will be so much better that we can give thanks. At this point, God is so good to have redeemed and saved us and given us all that we need. And we have that future hope of heaven, but we, more importantly, have Jesus Christ. One day we will never cease to give thanks. Now we struggle with it. We struggle every day. But one day we will never cease to thank our Savior for what He has done. Thankfulness is eternal. And I just want to urge you and encourage you, be thankful. Be thankful in your trials. Be thankful in your sins. Be thankful in the difficult things. Be thankful in the small little things that are annoying to you. Be thankful in all things because God is good in all things. Give thanks to God for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let's pray. God, we thank You. We thank You, God, for who You are, for what You have done. We praise You and we honor You for revealing Yourself to us in Your Word, for telling us to be thankful. We know that we are so bad at it. We are so bad at being thankful, at having the attitude of thankfulness, at actively giving thanks to You for all that we have, for all that You have done throughout all of history and at all times. But You deserve thanks and honor and glory and praise for all things. God, I pray that You would help us to fight against our own flesh and our own sin by being thankful, by hearing what You have done, by seeing what You have done and giving thanks, not living like the world, knowing that You exist, but ceasing and and neglecting to honor and give thanks to you, but help us to live as Christ, to give thanks always for all that you have done. You are a good Father. You are a good and sovereign God. We praise you and we thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.